Let's get cozy and comfortable and get ready to hear some enlightening, empowering, and inspiring talk on the virtual couch for Leticia on Leticia's virtual couch.
Virtual couch.
Hey, girl.
Let's go.
Hello, and welcome to Leticia's Virtual Couch. Toxic families. How many of us have them? How many of us have been reared within them to perpetuate negative cycles that affect us today? No one is perfect, but I would like to dedicate today's episode in discussing this issue a little bit further and also helping you break the cycle to give your offspring a fighting chance and having healthy relationships. See, families are the first set of individuals that we meet in childhood, from birth, right? And it also has a very dramatic effect on the type of relationships that we develop later on. So in today's episode, I want to discuss this a little bit deeper. Stay tuned after this. Welcome back. Now, before the break, I introduced the topic of toxic families. Before I go a little bit further, I wanted to discuss some terminology that I found to always be a part of toxic families when I talk to individuals. The first of those is black sheep. Now, the black sheep is known as the individual in the family that is shunned, that is usually cast away or cast out, isolated. But I looked a little bit deeper into this. I see the black sheep as an individual who usually disrupts the dysfunctional equilibrium of a family. They are shunned, again, like I said, cast out, isolated, made to feel guilty for being different. And some of those things could be simply as going to college, enhancing their spirituality, morals, and values, even getting married and breaking a cycle of out-of-wedlock births, relocating to a better neighborhood, securing better finances and socioeconomic situations. That can all incite rage, envy, and jealousy of a toxic family. That goes to say that that's a family that has a crab in a barrel mentality. So that individual looked as a black sheep within the family could be revered and esteemed in another situation. Also, with that, the golden child. The golden child is the opposite of the black sheep. In fact, that person is revered, they're esteemed, they're respected, and in the toxic family, they're to do no wrong. But into the greater society, is this person actually doing right in society, going to college and things of that sort? Maybe not. Maybe that person is continuing in the toxic, the toxic makeup of the family, but they're looked as the golden child because they're going with the negative cycles of that family. It's very interesting, but I've seen that in my own personal life, in my own personal family, I will absolutely say and admit. And there are some ways to effectively end that cycle, but it can be very challenging in a system of negativity that's been passed on from generation to generation. I have spoken with so many of my colleagues, friends, and so forth, and I can absolutely say I haven't come across one family who didn't have this in some aspect in their family. And what makes it so important to have this discussion and have a dialogue about it is because it can definitely bruise and damage one, and it shows up in other relationships that they have. So just imagine the individual who was the black sheep in their family. This individual goes on to marry someone else who, say, for instance, was the golden child or the black sheep, who knows? I'm saying this all to say that we carry what we learn in our families to other situations, and it can be very problematic. I would love to know how many divorces occur
because there was like a different language, you know, that was learned in one family and it just wasn't ever translated into the other family. I think a lot of people think that when we get married, there's a fairy tale that instantly happens. But you are marrying a person in their entire family. And when I mean entire family, I mean you're marrying their baggage. And that's not to say that in a negative light, but you are marrying all of their traditions, all of the things that they learn, whether they're dysfunctional or not, you are joining with that. So when I come back, I would like to explore this even further. So stay tuned.
Have a seat on the virtual couch.
Get it, girl. Let's go.
When we think of family, we think of mostly those individuals we've known since birth, whom are mostly blood related, although not all, but we have a shared vision of morals, values, and participate in creating and passing down traditions. A group of individuals who provide love towards one another, support, guidance, and wisdom, with whom we return it all back, right? Creating a healthy cycle passed down throughout generations. But we don't all have that experience. As I said before, there's a lot of things that are passed down throughout generations that become negative cycles, but however, they were rooted in mode of survival. Some of those, which I'll get into a little bit later, but one that I think about right now is silence. I know as an African-American in a lot of African-American families, because I speak to a lot, whether it's in my personal and professional life, we've all developed this whole thing about secrecy and not letting people into our quote unquote business. Now, although that's not a bad thing, right? Because I don't think everyone should be allowed to permeate your family fabric because everyone is not safe to do so. However, it becomes pathological and dysfunctional when there's things such as sexual abuse coming up and things of that sort, where that same protective guard is still there, which in that case, it should be torn down. So that's one of the things I definitely want to talk about. A lot of the things that happen in families that becomes dysfunctional were once rooted as a protective barrier. So I wanted to say that because a lot of times when we think of toxic, we think things were that happened on purpose, which it didn't happen that way. You know, some things are even passed down, and I'm going to discuss those in another episode. Post-traumatic slavery syndrome. There's things that are embedded in our culture and our very nature that we don't even know that we're doing. It's subconscious. It's within the fabric of our being. And these things have been passed down throughout generations. Later on in the episode, I would like to bring on a guest to tell of her story about her dysfunction and her family and how, immediate people in her family she's not even speaking with and why. And, you know, to the outside and people who don't know and have this experience, it may seem a little harsh. However, I will tell you about ways of disrupting this negative cycle and hopefully to give you tips to have a better outcome with your family members or just a better outcome with yourself. Because guess what? We can't control how people treat us, right? We can't control how people behave. We're only in control of what we do. And there's many instances that we may have to cut off some of those toxic people in our families and be able to join with them later when they're healthy enough to join back with us. So stay tuned after this, and I will be right back. The discussions on this podcast is for informational purposes only. If you find yourself becoming triggered by any topic, please refrain from listening and reach out to your nearest emergency room or dial 911.
If you desire to seek therapy in the future, please Google and find your nearest therapist in close proximity to you. Thank you.
Did y'all enjoy the break? Now find your spot on the virtual couch and get ready to hear our girl Letitia drop some more gems on ya. Drop some more gems on them, Letitia.
Letitia, drop some more gems on them.
Families are a system, and we're shaped by our families more than we think we are. Just imagine when you were a little kid. You thought that you would never be like your mother or father, right? Just to grow up and rear your children in the very same way and saying some of the very same things. See, families are a system, and anything that disrupts the family is regarded as foreign and in need of repair or discarded. Now, this goes for the toxic family as well. So anything that goes against that system, it can be regarded as foreign, and that person could be subject to abuse. I wanted to go over some signs that you can look for to see if you're a part of a toxic family. Toxic families are more than likely to be controlling. They more than likely blame you for things, so you would receive a lot of blame or see that occur. You may even receive threats from individuals in your family to conform to that norm, although toxic, but it's still that family's norm. They may be critical of you, so you may have endured that or you have seen that, very critical of your goals, your aspirations, if it goes against that family. They may dismiss your feelings. Your feelings may not be regarded at all. So you may be told to just do what we say, and your feelings do not matter. They may put siblings against each other. I've seen this a lot. So like I said before, you may have what we call the black sheep, and you may have the golden child. And those things, I would say, I want to pause here for a minute. It can be very damaging because I've seen that happen in childhood, and those siblings grow up to be adults and still have severed relationships, very damaged, you know, relationships. And it is really sad because then, you know, that sibling may have children, the other sibling may have children, and you have a family that could be permanently damaged because of that. And these type of families, you may also see that they always will claim that they're the victim, taking no ownership of their mishaps. Okay, so let's talk about, we talked about some of the problems. I addressed some of those. I want to also address what you can do, some of the remedies, some of the things that you can do to address these individuals in your family. First of these, I would say set boundaries. Establishing boundaries are very important. Being assertive and enforcing your boundaries and letting those individuals know that you're not going to accept passive aggressive remarks and mistreatment. Another thing I would say, try to be more independent. And I would say this because the more dependent you are on individuals, the more control that they would have. So try to be a little bit independent, even if it means that you have to sacrifice some things. But the longer you are dependent on these type of people that are toxic, the more control and more effect they're going to have on you. And lastly, I would say sever ties if you must. And I've said this in my office so many times. There are times when there is nothing that you can do that can repair a situation, because as I said before, we are only in control of ourselves. So sometimes you have to love people from a distance. It is reasonable to cut all ties if you have to. And I've seen it time and time again. You've tried everything, but again, we cannot control how other people treat us. What we can control, if we allow them to continually abuse of us by being there. So we have to distance ourselves. You know, sometimes, and I didn't get into this, when we're dealing with toxic families, especially in African-American families, I would say, because I'm a part of the African-American culture. And I talked a little bit about traditions and some of the dysfunctions that are passed down. But sometimes it can be a mental health issue that has gone untreated. Because in African-American families, we don't talk about mental health so openly because of the stigma, you know, taboo behind it, religious reasons, and so forth. But I say all that to say, it could be a mental health issue, but you cannot make anyone get help. All you have the power to do is to separate yourself from those individuals, because it's just going to damage you. And especially if you have children, it's even more important for you to separate yourself, because again, children are sponges, and I've said that before in other episodes, and they take in everything in their environment. So you do not want your child to be around toxic situations where they're learning them and passing them down to their children.
Hey, this is your girl, Letitia, coming to you from the virtual couch. I want to take a little bit of your time today to discuss how to find the right therapist. Now, like with anything, your hairstylist, your gardener, your medical doctor, it may take a few tries before you find the right fit. Finding the right therapist is no different. So stay the course and don't give up. Also, I want to empower you to ask questions. Do not feel like you're being intrusive by asking questions, because guess what? This is the person that's going to lead you and guide you towards your healing. And this is a very important partnership. So I will say this even as a therapist myself. If a therapist becomes offended by any questions that you may have, just like with any other individual that I discussed before, like your doctor, your gardener, whoever, someone, you know, working on your home, if they become offended, you're probably not going to hire them, right? Exactly. Your therapist is no different. So don't feel offended. Don't be offended by the degrees and the licenses and, yes, all those hard things we worked for, but we're here for you. And so it is your right to ask every question you need to ask to make sure it is the right fit for you. And again, it may take a few tries. And again, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person or that therapist is a bad person either. It just means that, you know what, they may not be the right person to guide you on your journey. So I want to leave you with a few resources. PsychologyToday.com is a resource where you can view various therapists, and you can even input your area by your zip code, your city, and your state to find the therapist nearest you. You can also go to therapyforblackgirls.com and therapyforblackmen.org. Please seek these resources out. They are awesome. There are some wonderful, very experienced therapists on these sites, some of which are my beautiful colleagues, and I know the hard work that they do, and they are waiting to hear from you. Okay, so I'm not gonna take any more of your time, because I know you can't wait to get to that computer, right? And search out that therapist. So I'm not going to say anything further. If you want to tell me about your experience, I would love to hear about it. Please email me at virtualcouchpodcast1@gmail.com. And happy hunting. Take care.
From this episode, were you able to identify with some of the characteristics I described? Maybe it's time to take some inventory. Maybe it's time to have some healthy conversations and dialogue with your loved ones. Or sometimes maybe it's just time to separate. But once again, this podcast, these episodes, are to be used for informational purposes only. If you need more professional attention and more professional assistance, please Google and find your nearest therapist in close proximity to you. If you are suffering from any crisis during this podcast, please refrain from listening, dial 911, or report to your nearest emergency room. Thank you for listening today.
Latisha's Virtual Couch.